Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 39, Akrura's Vision, Text Number 7. Discharja darshanam svanam. Mahyam va somyakankshitam. Sanjatam vanyatam tata. Tava gamana karanam. Adya. Today. Darshanam. The sight. Svanam. Of my close relative. Mahyam. For me. Vaha. Yourself. Somya. O gentle one. Kanchitam. Desired. Sanjatam. Has come about. Vanyatam. Please explain. Tata. Oh, uncle. Tava. Your. Agamana. For the coming. Karanam. The reason. By good fortune, we have today fulfilled our desire to see you, our dear relative. O gentle uncle, please tell us why you have come. Sisu Guru Vacha Prishto Bhagavatar Sarvam Vanayam Asamadavaha Vairanu Bandham Vyadushu Vasudeva Vadhodhyayam Vasudeva Vadhodhyamam. Sukadeva Goswami said, in response to the Supreme Lord's request, Akura, the descendant of Madhu, described the whole situation, including King Kansa's enmity towards the Yadus and his attempt to murder Vasudeva. Yat sandesho yadartham va dutta samprishita svayam yaduktam naradenasya svajanmana kudundubhe. Akura relayed the message he had been sent to deliver. He also described Kamsa's real intentions and how Narada had informed Kamsa that Krishna had been born as the son of Vasudeva. Shudva krura vacha krishno balascha paraviraha prahasyanam dampitaram ragyadishtam vijagyatu. Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, the vanquisher of heroic opponents, laughed when they heard Akura's words. The lords then informed their father Nanda Maharaj of King Kamsa's orders. Kopan samati shat sopi kriyatam sarvagorasaha upayana nigri nidvam yujyantam shakatani cha yasyamaha svomadupurim tasyamo nripate rasam traksyamasu mahatparva janti janna padakila evamago sayachatra nanda gopasva gokule. Nanda Maharaj then issued orders to the cowherd men by having the village constable make the following announcement throughout Nanda's domain of Braj. Go collect all the available milk products, bring valuable gifts and yoke your wagons. Tomorrow we shall go to Mathura, present our milk products to the king and see a very great festival. The residents of all the outlying districts are also going. Purport, Nanda wanted to bring ghee and other milk products as taxes for the king. Gopyas tasta dupasrutya Babhuvur Vyatita Prisham Ramakrishna Purim Netum Akuram Brajamagatam. When the young gopis heard that Akura had come to Braj to take Krishna and Balaram to the city, they became extremely distressed. Kaschit tat krita hittapa svasamlana mukashriyaha Shram Sadduku Lavalaya Kesha Grantyas Chakaschana. Some gopis felt so pained at heart that their faces turned pale from their heavy breathing. Others were so anguished that their dresses, bracelets and braids became loose.
Anyaschata danudhyana nivritasya vrittayaha navyajanam imam lokam atmalokam gata iva.
Other gopis entirely stopped their sensory activities and became fixed in meditation on Krishna. They lost all awareness of the external world, just like those who attain the platform of self-realization. Purport. The gopis were in fact already on the platform of self-realization. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila chapter 20 text 108 states, Jivera Svarupa Hoi Krishna Nichadas. The self or individual soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. Thus, because they were rendering the most intense loving service to the Lord, the gopis were situated at the highest stage of self-realization.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantika Mukam Karo Divachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatavinam.
Akura has been relieved of his anxiety. And has been duly welcomed by Krishna and Balaram. Who are very happy to see him. Disjaja darshanam svanam. We are very happy to see you. It is our great fortune. Disjaja. Good fortune. Mayam va somya kankshitam. Krishna's saying to Akura, we're happy to see you. Our desires have been fulfilled. O gentle one. Somya means gentle one. Please explain why you have come. The reason. Tava gamana karanam. Your coming. Karanam. What's the cause? What's the reason? Karanam here is described as, is translated as reason. What's the reason for your coming? So Akura then is described by Sugadeva Goswami. Akura then explains to Krishna and Balaram the reason for his coming. There's going to be a big festival in Mathura and everybody's invited to come for the fun. That's the external reason. The external reason for coming. There's going to be a festival. Please come to Mathura. Because the real purpose for the festival was so that Kamsa could kill Krishna and Balaram. Actually, that's the internal reason from Kamsa's point of view. The real internal reason is so that Krishna and Balaram can come and kill Kamsa. That's the real reason. The real reason, and this is why Krishna and Balaram are actually happy. Because this is all a plan, as it has been predicted by Narada Muni also. Or not predicted, precipitated if you like. This whole set of, the shift of scenery, shift of location if you like. Krishna's pastimes moving into a different location, so there's a shift or a change in mood, and the pastimes leaving Vrindavan. Of course, this creates the the situation where the residents of Vrindavan are going to keenly feel the separation from Krishna. And so the advancement of these devotees will be revealed, or the degree of love that these devotees feel for Krishna will be demonstrated. And it's in the first few verses, 14 to 18, it's described. From 14 to 18, the feelings of the gopis are described, and how their hearing of Krishna's departure is a cause of great anxiety for them. But it's interesting. Krishna and Balaram told Nanda Maharaj, "We're going to Mathura for a festival." So Nanda Maharaj is super enthusiastic. And the reason for that is they didn't tell him the other things that Akura had told them. They didn't tell Nanda Maharaj that actually Kamsa is setting up a trap to try and kill us. So, you know, you sort of wonder, why is Nanda Maharaj so enthusiastic about going to Mathura? It's because Krishna and Balaram didn't tell him that actually Kamsa set up a trap to try and kill us. They just said, "Dear Father, we want to go for this big festival. There's going to be a wrestling championship. There's going to be fun and games. You know, like you have a festival, a country festival, and there's all the stalls are set up. Everybody brings their prizes in. Like we just had the royal show. Everybody brings in their big cow and their big bull, their milk products and so forth." So Nanda Maharaj is thinking, "Yes, let's go for the show. And we'll bring our milk products and our grains and so forth, and we'll offer them to the king, and you know, maybe there'll be a competition to see who's got the biggest cow or whatever. You know, farmers like this sort of thing." So Nanda Maharaj is super enthusiastic about going to Mathura. But he doesn't know that actually the whole thing has been arranged by Kamsa to try and kill Krishna and Balaram, otherwise he'd be fairly sure that he wouldn't go. But they didn't tell him that bit. They left that out. So he's enthusiastic. "Okay, tell the village constable, go around Braj and tell everyone there's a big festival on in Mathura. Everybody please come." So they're having a big... what is the consequence of that? Everybody's enthusiastic to go for the festival, but what about the gopis? Who will be left behind? Oh, it's interesting also, you know, the Krishna and Balaram, when they heard that Kamsa wanted to kill them, they just laughed. "Oh, this is just a joke." They're enthusiastic then to go. Yes. So, the result is, however, that the damsels of Braj, the young gopis, when they heard that Akura was going to take Krishna and Balaram to the city, they became extremely distressed. And so we get a description here, 14 to 18, of that distress. And the symptoms of separation. There are 10 symptoms of separation from Krishna. I wrote them down because I'm not likely to remember all of them. First one is anxiety. Being in anxiety. Second one is not being able to sleep. When Radharani is complaining about Krishna's departure from Vrindavan, she says to one of her friends, "Even sleep is being unkind to me, because at least when I fall asleep, I could dream about Krishna." Huh? She said. "But I can't even fall asleep. So I can't even dream about Krishna." Because she's always thinking about Krishna in any case. But
So always remaining awake. Mental agitation. Now here's an interesting one, because it mentions here. Some gopis felt so pained at heart that their faces turned pale from their heavy breathing. They were sighing. And so they went pale. But then others were so anguished that their dresses, bracelets and braids became loose. So one of the symptoms of separation from Krishna is thinness. One becomes thin. Right? Bodily manifestations of ecstasy. So they became thin and their clothes started to fall off. Their bracelets fell off of their wrists. Their clothes became loose. So thinness, uncleanliness, or apparent uncleanliness, you know, untidiness if you like. Talking like a madman. We get people talking like a madman, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're demonstrating ecstatic symptoms. There's a differentiation. There are other symptoms one has to look for in the character of a devotee. But, interestingly enough, these symptoms are only manifest in the very elevated. These symptoms are generally not seen in an ordinary person. This is an important consideration. Madness, disease, madness, illusion and death, mrityu. Symptoms of death. Although they're not dead, but symptoms of dying. Just like, for example, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were travelling to Jagannath Puri with the devotees, Mukunda Datta and many devotees, Shivananda Shane and many devotees. They'd arrived at Bhubaneswara. They'd come all the way from Bengal, which is a long journey. And Bhubaneswara is quite a distance, actually, from Jagannath Puri, but I guess you could travel it in a day. And then when Lord Chaitanya saw the temple of Lord Jagannath, he was very ecstatic. Even though it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the distance was about 6 miles from, but it seemed like thousands of miles to Lord Chaitanya. So anyway, what had happened was they'd stopped the night before just outside of Puri, and Lord Chaitanya had given his sannyas danda to Lord Nityananda to look after. But Lord Nityananda broke it into pieces and threw it in the river. And in the morning, Lord Chaitanya wanted his danda. And he asked Lord Nityananda, "Where's my danda?" And he said, "You and I were dancing in ecstasy, and you fell on me, and we fell on the ground, and we broke it. So I threw it away. It wasn't useful anymore." And Lord Chaitanya became very upset. He said, "That danda was my only possession. It's the only thing I had. And I gave it to you to look after it, and you couldn't even look after it properly." So he got angry and he stormed off. Actually, before that, he had said he discussed with the devotees about going. And they said, "You can go first or we'll go first, whichever you want." But when he discovered that he'd lost his danda had been lost, or actually been thrown away by Lord Nityananda. Of course, there's a reason for that. Prabhupada mentions, actually, that Krishnadas Kaviraj also mentions. You understand this pastime is very esoteric. You know, the sannyas danda is a symbol, if you like, of the different vanas and ashrams. And for one who has attained a very elevated position in devotional service, they're not dependent upon any rules and regulations of Varna or Ashram. Because the whole purpose of the Varna Ashram system is to bring a person to the point of understanding their relationship with God. That's the whole purpose of it. So once one has attained that perfection, then one doesn't, it doesn't matter what. There are no real rules and regulations that one has to follow any further. And so therefore Lord Nityananda breaking the dandra and throwing it away indicated that Lord Chaitanya is beyond all the rules and regulations of Varna Ashram. He's attained the topmost platform. Because he's Krishna, so but playing the role of an ordinary human being, an ordinary devotee. I said many. The residents of Navadvipa and Mayapur were broken hearted when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. But because that meant then that he would live a very renounced, austere existence. And that would stop them from being able to interact and exchange loving reciprocation. Because now, and it comes up in that pastime a little later on. What happens is Lord Chaitanya he storms off in anger, leaves the party and goes to Jagannath Puri by himself. The devotees come later. And Lord Chaitanya enters into the mandir of Jagannath. And then when he sees Lord Jagannath, he just stunned and falls to the ground, completely unconscious. And, the temple guard wants to beat him and chase him out. But I guess he's probably seen people come in and do all sorts of things, as happens in temples in India. People come in and manifest all sorts of odd symptoms of ecstasy. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happened to be there and he forbade them. No. Just happened to be there. And he was observing the symptoms of Lord Chaitanya, and he was thinking, these symptoms are uncommon. They're not witnessed or seen in an ordinary person. So this being stunned, completely stunned. And in fact, Lord Chaitanya was so deeply unconscious that it appeared as if he was dead. We see that sometimes, mrityum, death. His stomach wasn't breathing, they couldn't detect any external. But then what he did was he got a little puff of cotton wool and he put it by his nose, and then he could detect just a little movement in the threads of cotton. So he got the devotees, he got some assistants, some of his disciples to carry Lord Chaitanya to his residence. Because you understand, these are symptoms, these are extraordinary symptoms of ecstasy that are generally not seen in a person. Right? So now these symptoms we're about to see here also in the pastime or in the behaviour of the gopis. Extraordinary indications of deep love and affection for Krishna. Even though we might feel attachment for something, it's very unlikely that if that attachment was broken that we would uh, become so skinny that our clothes would fall off. Or that we would fall on the ground as if dead. So, eventually the devotees came to the temple and they heard the local gossip and people saying that Lord Chaitanya had been taken to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. So then they went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house also and had kirtan there. And then eventually in about midday the Lord Chaitanya came to his external consciousness. And the devotees were all very happy to be in Puri and to then be well received by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who then went to the mandir and purchased all prasadam for the devotees. But it's interesting, this is one of the reasons why the devotees didn't want Lord Chaitanya to take sannyas. Then Lord Chaitanya refused all of the opulent prasad. So let me just have some boiled vegetables with the chaunch. Everybody else can have the sweets and the sabjis and the savouries and all the different things. But of course the devotees didn't like this behaviour with Lord Chaitanya. They wanted to be able to, because they, you know, just like Mother Yashoda would engage Radharani in cooking all manner of preparations for Krishna's pleasure. And you see that in Jagadananda Pandit, who's in Krishna Leela was Tachibama, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And so he would bring, you know, a nice comfortable bed for Lord Chaitanya. He would bring oils, he'd want to massage him, and you know, and Lord Chaitanya would chastise him, "I'm a sannyasi, what are you doing? You know, this is ridiculous. I shouldn't be massaged with scented oils and, you know, be given a really soft bed to lie on. This is not appropriate for a sannyasi." So in one sense, you know, Lord Nityananda is breaking the sannyas danda. Is, you know, what is this sannyas rubbish? Throw it away. You're not a sannyasi, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But of course, Lord Chaitanya was acting as a devotee to teach the standard of devotional service. On the one hand, he demonstrated the highest degree of realization and achievement, if you like, in devotional practice. But on the other hand, he also kept himself as an ordinary person. Kept himself as an ordinary person. Followed the rules and regulations, followed the etiquettes, the Vaishnava etiquette, and not only the Vaishnava etiquette but also the ordinary standards of behaviour. Lord Chaitanya was careful to follow those. Of course, that's when he was in his external consciousness. When he was in his internal consciousness, then he was completely oblivious to what was going on around him. Which is interesting, because that's indicated in the next verse here. Other gopis entirely stop their sensory activities. Like they become so stunned. Just like Lord Chaitanya, when he saw Lord Jagannath, he became completely stunned, fell unconscious on the ground, so much so that he it looked like he was dead. So these gopis, actually it's mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that the first The 14th verse describes Bhadra and her associates, the leading gopis, who became pale from their sighing, feeling distress. So they're so anguished. And then Chandravali is described in text 15. Completely stopped, like a yogi, it's mentioned here. They lost all awareness of the external world, just like those who attain the platform of self-realization, just like we just finished the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it describes how the yogis should meditate if they follow in the Ashtanga Yoga system. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyaksha, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Right? The eight stages of the Ashtanga Yoga system. So, of course, Arjuna says, forget that, I can't do that. But the recommendations for the yogis are go to a sacred place, forest, secluded place, preferably a sacred place, a secluded place. Choose a spot that's not too high, not too low. Sit on a kusha grass mat with a deer skin. Then, do the asanas, drill the breathing. Then sit erect with looking at the tip of your nose. Don't have your eyes too open so you get distracted by things going on outside. But don't have your eyes too closed so that you fall asleep. Prabhupada would say, he would go to the yoga studios and he would see everybody in their meditation, but actually they're just snoring. You see it here, sometimes people come in for the japa time and they're just sitting and meditate. And usually the head starts to go down. Not easy. So then, for the practitioner of the Ashtanga Yoga process, if they're doing it properly, by pratyaksha, dharana, they have withdrawn their bodily functions, completely internalized. And the purpose of the Ashtanga Yoga system is to turn one's attention, focus within, so that one can see the Vishnu form, Paramatma within the heart. That's the purpose of the whole system. So the gopis are like the described here, they're like the yogis who lose all, because in that state of consciousness then a person becomes completely absorbed. An example that I can think of is Shomaka Rishi. Right? He was absorbed in his meditation. So much so that when Maharaj Parikshit came to his ashram, he didn't even notice that he was there. Right? And then Maharaj Parikshit got offended and garlanded him with a snake because he wasn't received properly. But at the highest level of realization, a yogi becomes completely detached from what's going on. And so absorbed in that meditation. Of course, the interesting thing is that the gopis are actually on that level of realization, is the point that's made here. Jivara Svarupoi Krishna Nityadas. That the whole purpose of all of the austerities of a yogi is to come to the point of serving Krishna. And of course, that's what the gopis are already doing. So it's not that they are less than a self-realized soul when they're engaged actively in Krishna's service. Because this is one of the misconceptions, that you become a yogi, you become a devotee, and then that means you detach and don't do anything. Right? don't have to have anything to do with anything of the material world. Which in one sense is true, yes. The devotees don't have anything to do with the material world. But they see the connection of everything with Krishna. Right? And so therefore, engage actively with apparently the material energy. Of course, it's not the material energy. It's actually Krishna's energy. The devotees see the connection to Krishna. What is it? Nibandha Krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyam uchite. They recognize that everything ultimately belongs to Krishna and should be used in Krishna's service, one way or another. If not, then avoid it. But not that we reject things out of the hand, oh, this is material and we won't have anything to do with it. That's a false renunciation. It can be used in Krishna's service, so let's use it. For the benefit of everybody. That's the rule. So the gopis are actively engaged in serving Krishna. And even though now it appears that they are demonstrating symptoms of a great yogi, but actually they're the best of the yogis. At the end of the sixth chapter, Krishna says, Yoginam api sarve sam madgatena antaratmana sradaran bhajate yo mam same yukta tamo mataha. One who always thinks of me and renders service to me with deep faith, sradaran bhajate yo mam, one who worships me or serves. So the gopis are always thinking of and serving Krishna. Always. So actually they're the greatest yogis. Jivera Swarupoi Nityara Krishna Das. They're always engaged in serving Krishna. So they're actually situated on the highest platform of self-realization already, automatically. But in feelings of separation, it appears as if they've become like the yogis, stunned, deeply absorbed, internally absorbed, such that, or as a result of the thought of being separated from Krishna, this is how great their love for Krishna is. Quite a rare, it's rare to see that degree of love and affection for someone in anybody, really. So, next couple of verses, there are more descriptions of some of these symptoms of separation. Some of the others, madness and other symptoms. As a result of the impending departure, or the pending departure of Krishna from Mathura. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes.